No Nils friends. Welcome to the Mitch and Nils Bulls Show, episode 51. Your look at the Chicago Bulls from a fan perspective. We're not experts, we're not insiders, we're not journalists, but we usually are two guys that love talking about your Chicago Bulls. My name is Nils, and I have no friends today because I'm flying solo. Mitch couldn't make the show. And I can neither confirm nor deny that this is because of a fantasy football draft. Hopefully my podcast partner fares better with his draft selections in fantasy football than in some of his more infamous personnel decisions. He is the same guy that wanted to draft Michael Beasley and Spencer Hawes over Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah respectively. And I'm not going to let him live that down. All jokes aside, Mitch will be back next week. But I did find someone to fill the void, and that'd be none other than Bulls radio play-by-play man Chuck Swirsky. For those of you who don't have the opportunity to listen to Chuck on the radio here in Chicago on ESPN 1000, Chuck has been doing Bulls games for the past 5 years with Bill Weddington. He's probably most recognized for his call of "Onions, baby, onions" whenever a Bull knocks down a big shot. I had the opportunity to meet Chuck at last week's Nazir Muhammad charity event, and he was gracious enough to stop by and chat for a few minutes. Also, shout out to Nazir for all the great things he's doing in the Chicago community. Don't know if he'll be able to give the Bulls 15 to 20 minutes per game as a backup center, but he does sure know how to throw a party, especially for charity. If you haven't already, make sure you check out my recap of the Nazir Muhammad charity event that I posted earlier this week on ShyCitySports.com. It was a good time for a great cause. Speaking of ShyCitySports.com, you can find our show on that site, as well as Bloggable.com, BullsPodcasters.com, and GoWhereHipHop.com. Just want to make sure our affiliate partner sites get their proper plugs. Make sure you also subscribe to us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at The Bulls Show and at Mitch Don't Lie. Anyway, Chuck Swirsky will be on the other side of the break. This is episode 51. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Mitch and Nils Bulls Show. Still here with my day one, so you hear me say, no new friends, no new friends, no new friends, no new friends. Let's ride, still ride with my day one, don't really need no new friends, no new friends, no new friends, no no new. I stayed down from day one, so I say, no new friends, no new friends, no new friends, no no new. Stay down from day one, so I say, no new friends, no new friends, no new friends, no no new. Stay down from day one, so I say, all of my photographs got hate vermin. Big homies all certified. I'm excited to have on the phone the radio voice of your Chicago Bulls since 2008, Chuck Swirsky. Chuck, welcome to the Bull Show.
Jason, thank you very much.
So how's your offseason been?
Well, the offseason has been quiet for the most part, but I'm ready to rock and roll. Very excited about training camp in about 7 weeks.
Yeah, it's just right around the corner. You know, speaking of the off season, how would you grade the Bulls' own summer? You know, like you said, there wasn't too much activity in free agency. We did see some additions in Mike Dunleavy Jr. and Tony Snell, while also losing Marco Bellinelli, Nate Robinson, Rip Hamilton. How did you like the moves that the Bulls made or didn't make?
Well, you know what? I love Dunleavy. I think Dunleavy's going to be a terrific addition for this ball club. He's a veteran. He knows how to play. Just a solid basketball IQ performer. So I didn't mind that. You know, Jason, as you know, and you've covered the league long enough with the new CBA to understand that This is reality now in the NBA regarding the cap and the movement of players on the bench and what happens with a rotation of players coming in and out of the roster year after year. Because, as you know, with the roster and salaries of the Bulls, with Rose, Dane, Noah, On top of that, you have Boozer. You know, I mean, you can only spend so much money,
right,
unless you're Brooklyn, of course. the truth of the matter is that, you know, with the addition of Rose again and with the development of Bob Butler, you know, I mean, this ball club should be able to contend, I think, for an Eastern Conference championship. And after that, depending on the health of this team in April, who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you can get back a former MVP in the fold, you're bound to improve your roster.
Correct.
And not to mention a promising summer league stint for Marcus Teague. So, you know, we do have that depth besides losing Nate, Marco, and Rip. But speaking of Nate, you know, I did want to ask you, would we say that this past postseason's Game 4 triple overtime win against the Nets was the most memorable game you've ever announced? If not, which was?
Well, I mean, there are some Raptor games. I mean, I did a series in 2001 with the Raptors in Philadelphia where it was every other night, either Vince Carter or Allen Iverson were scoring 50 points a game. I mean, that was unbelievable series, and Philly won it in Game 7 on a Sunday night in Philadelphia, and Carter had a chance to win it from the left pocket, and it bounced and hit the rim, and ironically, of all players to grab the rebound, it was Allen Iverson. But, you know, the Bulls-Boston series of 2009 was very, very special. That was the opening round series, Rose's rookie year. You know, the dramatic Game 6 at the United Center, mm-hmm, with Noah stealing the ball and, you know, racing to the rim with a dunk, and Paul Pierce fouled him, in fact, fouled out of the ball game on that play. But, you know, that game that we had at the United Center with Nate Robinson going off was unbelievable. And, I mean, remember, in that ball game, the Bulls were down by 14.
Yep.
And remember, the Nets came away with a steal, and C.J. Watson missed a dunk. He blew it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens if C.J. Watson makes that bucket? Bulls are down by 16. Bulls then call timeout, probably. You know, Tom Thibodeau has to make a decision. All right, do I pull my starters? I mean, a lot of things. It was a ripple effect.
Right.
And what happened? Watson blows the dunk. Bulls come down and score. Nets turn the ball over. Bulls come down and score. All of a sudden, you know, Robinson hits a three. You look at the scoreboard. Bulls are down by 8. They're right back in the ball game.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That must have. And, you know, I actually distinctly remember listening to you on the radio because I was caught up in traffic. And I thought that the game was pretty much in the bag right before that C.J. Watson steal. Luckily, it went a couple more overtime, so I did get to catch the end of that game.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you mentioned Thibodeau. You know, one interesting news story that surfaced during the summer was an alleged rift between Gar Forman and Tom Thibodeau. And, you know, you're with the team on a daily basis. How real was this tension, and, you know, should Bulls fans be worried?
I don't think Bulls fans are worried. You know, you've got a general manager and a head coach, and they're on the same page. And, you know, regardless of what happens behind closed doors, both men are very, very good at what they do. And both men want the same thing. They want an NBA championship, and they're driven and they're focused. And so I think that, you know, at the end of the day, that's the common denominator. You want to win, and they're going to win. I mean, and both have proven they are winners. So I think that's a non-story, to be quite candid with you. I think the big story is, number one, the return of Derrick Rose and his health.
Mm-hmm.
Second, how this team gels not only with their bench, because, again, for the second straight year, actually the third straight year now, we're going to have different pieces of the puzzle. And, you know, to see what they can get out of their backup center position, whether they can really count on Nazi Muhammad to play maybe extended minutes,
mm-hmm,
or more games in the regular season, or are we going to see more of Taj Gibson at the five?
Right, right. You know, I mean, that brings up a good point, you know, with, you know, the rotation, or at least the roster pretty much set. You know, the Bulls were ravaged by injuries last season, and while it's debatable on whether any of that, you know, had to do with the result of heavy minutes, do you see Thibodeau significantly changing his philosophy on playing time this year?
Well, I that's a two-part question. He'll never change his philosophy as far as who he is and his DNA as a head coach. But, Jason, I do think he's going to scale it down. I mean, for people to think all of a sudden Dang is going to go from 38 minutes a game to 30 minutes a game. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But, and I see Noah, Dang, a couple other players, shave minutes here and there, yes. Yep. And, you know, you have to look at the big picture. And I think now, as the club is still, at this point, Dang is in his prime, Noah's in his prime. You know, Rose hasn't hit his prime yet. Boozer is, you know, I don't want to say past his prime, but that window's closing for Boozer, and he knows it.
Right.
So I would think at this point in time, if I'm Tom Thibodeau, and he knows his roster a lot better than I do, he's probably going to take a look at the minutes and pick and choose when he can rest players and when he can't.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see Jimmy Butler not play 48 minutes per game like he was doing towards the end of that Miami series.
True.
So, you know, looking ahead, expectations, like you mentioned, are pretty sky high for the Bulls' 2013-14 campaign. You know, a lot of emphasis, obviously, is being put on Rose, being back to MVP form. But I think that is a lot of pressure to put on a guy who hasn't played in 18, 19 months. In your opinion, who on the roster outside of Rose is destined for a breakout season this year?
Well, the obvious pick would be, you know, Butler, because we saw a lot of Jimmy at crunch time near the end of the year when Tom Thibodeau had to make a tough call. I mean, what does he do? Does he send Rip Hamilton on the floor, or do it with Butler? And, you know, Tom Thibodeau pulled the right buttons and pushed him, and boom. So I would think, I would say this. I think it's going to be very intriguing to see how Butler responds now to the fact that the microscope, he's under it. And he's now on every scouting report. Beforehand, not to say he wasn't on a scouting report, but now when coaches talk in their pregame, you know, delivery, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, or in a scouting report that every player gets in shoot around, Jimmy Butler's name is on it. And Jimmy Butler's name is probably going to be about the third or fourth player they talk about. Mm-hmm. Where before, Butler was probably maybe an 8-9 guy when they were talking about it. So now teams are going to be ready for him. He's going to respond. I know it. I love the kid's makeup.
Yep. You know, I think you know what should give a lot of Bulls fans plenty of optimism is the fact that Jimmy Butler was able to play so well without Derrick Rose last year. You add Derrick Rose to the fold, who, you know, presumably makes life a lot easier for his teammates. I think the sky's the limit for Jimmy Butler, especially, you know, with a backcourt pairing of Derrick Rose. So.
Right. Well, and a lot has to do with Butler himself if he can knock down that 18-footer.
Yep, creating that space for D. Rose, of course. So, you know, taking a look at the rest of the landscape of the East, you know, we've seen a lot of changes in recent months. We obviously know what Miami brings to the table as two-time defending champs, but we also have seen some vast improvements from everyone from Indiana to Brooklyn to even Detroit. Which teams in the East are you particularly interested going into the season, and which teams are you keeping an eye on?
Well, for obvious reasons, I think Brooklyn, because of all the changes they made, and I'm talking not only with Garnett and Pierce and with Terry coming off the bench. I thought picking up Karolinko was great, and I like the job. And again, you know, we're dealing with a different situation here, other than probably the norm in the NBA with an owner that has unlimited finances and really doesn't care about paying $87 billion in tax bill. So, you know, Brooklyn is going to be very much improved, to say the least. I'm interested to see how Cleveland handles. They not only have Bennett, but I like what they've done. You know, a little piece here, a little piece there.
Yep.
Detroit, as you mentioned, with the development of their two bigs with Monroe and Drummond. Then they got Jennings, and I want to see Jennings and Josh Smith play together to see how this is going to work out.
Yep.
But I think that Milwaukee will play hard. I don't know where they're going to fit in as far as the playoff spot, if they're, you know, on that cusp of a 7-8 or maybe on the outside looking in. You know, I'll tell you the player in the East that has a chance to be a really, really, really good player in this league.
Who's that?
From many years and at the 5 spot, and it's Jonas Valanciunas of Toronto.
Interesting.
I really think this kid has an awesome opportunity to make a major impact in this league. He's big, he's strong, he's athletic, he can post up. He's developing now a nice little mid-range in-the-lane game. Mm-hmm. He boxes, plays physical, he's a gifted passer, and because he's on a non-playoff team, they'll probably win probably 35 games this year. He's not going to get a lot of pub, and he's certainly not on national TV in the States. But trust me, every GM and every head coach, if he was available, they would take him in a heartbeat. There's a reason why he was a high lottery pick 2 years ago. This kid is going to be really, really good.
That's very interesting. Yeah, there's definitely a lot more talent this upcoming season in the East. You know, you mentioned what Cleveland has done, and we just already talked about Butler and Rose being, you know, a young, explosive backcourt. The same could be said about Cleveland's backcourt with Kyrie Irving and Dion Waiters. So it'll be fun to watch. Definitely have a lot of optimism for this upcoming season, but it should be tough. So, you know, going into the season as an announcer, what do you look forward to most?
Well, I look forward, number one, to getting back behind the mic and working with Bill and the players and talking Bulls basketball, which I love. So, I mean, that's what I enjoy, and I enjoy the opportunity to go into the United Center where the Bulls have led the league in attendance the past 4 years to see, you know, 22,000 a night, which I never take for granted, because there are a lot of teams who would love to get 22,000 in their building a night.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, yeah, I think it's going to be a fantastic situation. Hopefully Rose will be healthy, and Rose will be back to where we all know and love Rose to be, and we'll take it from there.
Fantastic. Well, I know your time is a bit short, so to wrap things up, just want to have you give our listeners your official prediction for the upcoming season. How many games do you have the Bulls end up winning in the regular season? What is their playoff seeding? How does the season end? Give it to us, Chuck.
Well, I'll tell you what. I never predict wins because you never know what can happen with injuries. I'll just say that if everything goes according to plan as far as health, and that's the big key, of course, especially April with the playoffs, I think the Bulls have an opportunity to go very, very, very far.
Should we start reserving our spot at Grant Park then in June 2014?
I'm not saying that. Let's wait. I'm conservative. Let's take one day at a time.
All right. Well, Chuck, it was a pleasure having you on. And with all due respect to Neil and Stacy, I know a lot of fans that enjoy listening to your broadcast. Keep up the good work and best of luck this season.
All right, Jason. Thank you so much. A pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you. Take care. All right, that was Chuck Swirsky of Bulls Radio on ESPN 1000, as well as Bulls TV on ChicagoBulls.com. Definitely appreciate his insight and enthusiasm. As Chuck said, only 7 weeks until training camp. Now, that doesn't seem like a long time, but it also can't come soon enough, mostly because there is very little to talk about these days. I feel like the biggest news to drop in recent weeks are all the NBA players' reactions to Kendrick Lamar's verse on Control. If you ask me, I thought the verse was good, but I felt like all it took was some name-dropping of a bunch of rappers and trying to instigate some beef. Maybe I'll convince Mitch next week to name-drop some of our favorite podcasts and claim that we'll figuratively murder them. That hopefully would get some of our listens and downloads up. Anyway, ESPN is doing their best to keep NBA fans engaged with their annual summer NBA forecast. That's currently running on ESPN.com. You know, while Chuck prefers not to make any concrete predictions, ESPN's panel of experts have projected the Bulls to have a very respectable 55-win season and finish second in the East. You know, I think most Bulls fans would gladly accept that result, myself included, but surprisingly, there is still a part of me that thinks that's selling the Bulls even a little bit short, and here's why. If we're assuming decent health, which admittedly is a big assumption, the Bulls have always been a 60-win team under Tibbs, or a 60-win pace team during the lockout season. I don't see how this changes. You know, you could argue that the East is much better, which is true, but on paper, so are the Bulls. We now have one of the more premier young backcourts in Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler. Deng and Noah are established all-stars, and we've added some shooting to space the floor, something we've lacked in previous seasons. You know, obviously we don't have as much depth at the backup center position, but our improvements elsewhere could and should offset that. At least I think so. I don't know. You know, maybe I'm being a little irrationally optimistic as I tend to be, and Mitch can talk me down next week. Regardless, it should be a fun season that will probably shave a few years off my life. I think that'll do it for this week's Bull Show. Again, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at The Bull Show, at Mitch Don't Lie, and of course, check out all our partner sites. Thanks again to Chuck Swirsky for stopping by, and we'll see you next time on The Bull Show.